When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from Pitchless.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 13th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. I'm so sorry for the lack of podcast yesterday, but as you can probably tell, my voice isn't quite back yet, and I needed a day of rest for it. It's so annoying. I think I figured out why it has been happening. This is the second time in like 3 weeks. And we're going to be good moving forward. But we got to talk about yesterday and today and tomorrow's games. We have Alan Winans going against the Mets. He destroyed it. He is Mike Soroka if Mike Soroka was really good. And back to normal. 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 9 Ks. I watched a lot of this one. I really just dig what Winans does. I know it's a sinker at 90 miles per hour, but he moves it in and out well. Had a 42% O swing. 50% CSW on that. The changeup earned whiffs. The slider was consistent at 42% CSW. Threw a ton of strikes. This is exactly what you want to see for a guy pitching for Atlanta, where he's going to be going to 6 innings constantly with that amazing offense, hopefully getting him a win. It's a solid defense behind him too. It's just a really good starter that would be in place of Yonny Chirinos if he does stick around past being this 27th man for this doubleheader. And I think Atlanta would do this. He obviously deserves it. He's better than Yonny Chirinos, so definitely keep that in mind because that would be the Giants after in his next start later this week. George Kirby against Baltimore destroyed. 7 strikeouts, complete game shutout here, even though they lost in extras, which is so frustrating, so no win. But the slider did not return. 0 out of 10 whiffs, 90% strikes, but 0 out of 10 whiffs. Very frustrating to see that. Still, Kirby's fastball is just that good, and I'm really excited for him for next year because I do think he's going to get better with those secondaries, and he was really good with this, and he's a great innings guy, and even with the lack of massive strikeout rate, it's about 170 strikeouts this year, which is still very, very good. Sure, it's not like 230 or something like that we see from other guys that hint at 200 frames, but still, that is productive, and I think that can go up in future years. Spencer Strider is going to ace even when he wasn't at his peak. I gave it back to Zach Gallen. Because the second straight start, we're seeing the four-seamer and curveball dominate, and this was against a good Padres offense. This is the guy that we know, so ace is going to ace there. Also, ace is going to ace, getting awarded to Pablo Lopez, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. He has a 2.5 ERA, a 101 whip, and a 31% strikeout rate across his last 9 starts. He had a 49% CSW on his four-seamer across the 34th round. It's so nice. Pablo Lopez is an ace, and y'all know it if you have him on your teams. Same with Sandy Alcantara. However, I know, look, 9 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 10 Ks. It is his third out of 4 starts of going at least 8 innings, second of 9, which is crazy. He also came out after the 8th inning after throwing over 100 pitches prior, and they still just let him do it. The reason I'm not going to give it to him is because now he gets a real test with the Dodgers, Padres, and Rays up next. And he faced the Rangers last time out. It was 4 runs in 6 innings. So I want to see, like, if he absolutely just dominates the Padres, fine. But I feel like this might be a little bit rough, and it's so annoying because we all know that Alcantara is at his peak. We know what he can do. You're going to start him in these. But it's I just can't give him the aces going to ace before this amazing, amazing run. We have a bullpen game for the Rays, so whatever. You have Cole Irvin doing actually really well against the Mariners. Really good pitch locations. He had 0 over 22 CSW on the change, but 12 strikes on it as it earned foul balls and outs, and that was good because then it opened the door for the four-seamer and cutter to go 10 over 35 whiffs combined. So really good stuff. He was only at 67 pitches here against the Mariners, and I imagine he can go 75-plus pitches against the Athletics next, and that's pretty cool. Matt Manning survived against the Red Sox of 0 runs in 5.1 innings, but it was 1 strikeout and 3 walks, and this was a blame it on the Red Sox. The fastball's at 94, not 95, and the slider's not amazing, and whatever. Tony Gonsolin was a Toby against Rocky Road. That's normal. He gets the Marlins next. That's fine. Jose Quintana looks great. He pitched really well against Atlanta here. 1 run in 6 innings. Command is fantastic. Four-seamer separation from his changeup and his sinker is incredible. The curveball actually wasn't at its peak, and it doesn't matter. It was a mistake. You know, it wasn't a mistake pitch constantly. So I love Quintana right now. I'm very, very in on starting him moving forward. Gavin Williams had 19 whiffs against the Rays, 10 Ks again. This is insane. Right when I demoted him a bit, right? I lowered him on the list. And this is what he does. I said, do not start against the Jays. And now two straight Jays in Rays. He just destroys them. Four seamer at a ridiculous 5.6 PLV. You don't really see that on four seamers. You might see that sometimes with like sliders and stuff. But four seamers are just generally rated a little bit worse. And it didn't matter. The secondary still need work, surprisingly, but I don't care because it's just such a good four-seamer right now, and I'm going to be very in on Gavin Williams as I think those breaking balls do get better over time. Generally, that's what we see from young guys. We have Luis Medina doing okay against the Nationals, but not really that great as he had a slider. That was like five whiffs and not really the big one. Orioles are next. I don't go for that, but if he looks really good with that, then it's the Royals and Mariners after, so okay. Andrew Heaney was limited to 1.1 innings and 40 pitches because he actually was ill, and they knew that, and they were quick on the hook because of that, so whatever, we ignore this. He gets the Brewers next, and it's the same old cherry bomb Heaney, so he'll be questionable there. JB France came through against the Angels. That's nice. Got a win. Really good to see that he was pitching a ceiling. Not a bad start against the Mariners. Moving forward, it's probably going to be questionable. Not really one I have to do, but there is a good win chance for that one, so that's cool. Jake Irvin did well against Oakland. It was at 95, which is still good. Not 96, but 95. At least it's not 93, 94. And the curve did well. 70% strikes, 33% CSW. I just want to see more. Like, I need to see something actually really, really good in the secondary department for me to get excited about Jake Irvin. But this was against the Athletics. 6.2 innings of 2 and runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. That's sneaky value there with Jake Irvin. Not a win because it's the Nationals. But still, there's something there. I think it's just he needs one more piece of the puzzle. And I think next year I might get really excited about Jake Irvin if there is a slider that's all of a sudden getting with or something on top of all of this. Then y'all will hate on me because he won't be amazing, even though I'll be like, hey, here's someone that's actually legitimate value and could be sustainable. But then he's going to have stumbles and everyone's going to be upset. And yep, that's what always happens, like with Cole Reagans. So I'm still so, so excited about Cole Reagans. 5 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. He had 15 whiffs and 31% CSW. He was still really good in this. I mean, there were some at-bats that he just lost, and it was really frustrating. And I think, honestly, he went too far away from the four-seamer and cutter in this one. I think that's the bread and butter that sets up the slider, sets up the changeup, sets up the curve. The curve is more of that surprise pitch here and there. The change and slider are both excellent pitches, but I think he turned a little bit too much to them. I mean, 9 out of 23 whiffs is really hard to deny on the slider. But maybe a little too much on the changeup in my view against the Cardinals, and that kind of did him in a little bit. Also, there were some curves that like just didn't go his way. There was a double play ball that was considered a hit, and that's ridiculous. And I still don't understand that one. Two-run shot, whatever. It was a weird, more laborious one, and I do not deny the skills of Reagan still. I love him. I think you have to roster him. And I think this is a proper case of, you know, I get really excited about a guy for justifiable reasons, in my view, especially when they're just not considered whatsoever. And that doesn't mean they're an ace. I mean, they're probably going to stumble like everyone else. But I think a lot of guys are seeing this one and just saying like, well, he's not actually good, Nick. What's wrong with you? I'm like, okay, that's not what's going on. You know this. You're smart enough to know this. If you're listening to this right now, you know better than to act like that. Okay, cool. Brandon Woodruff, ace, is going to ace almost against the White Sox. Only 2, and I said after 3, after the IL. But he looks really good right now. The four-seamer is great. Secondaries need a little bit more work. Steven Matz was opposite Cole Reagans against the Cardinals against the Royals. 6 innings, 2 in runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Everything's looking good here. However, Mets and Pirates next, and then it's the Padres after. As a lefty, you don't want to do that one. We have a lot of others to talk about today, of course, and for today and tomorrow's games, and we'll talk about all those after this break.
This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100, so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Johnny Brito followed Michael King, five innings of 100 run ball, three hits, zero walks, and six Ks, about 70 pitches in this. Really good to see it. 70% CSW on the curve isn't going to stick, though. There is a temptation to start him against the Red Sox next weekend, but I feel like this is the ceiling. He didn't even get a win, but it's still a ceiling, and I just don't really think it's that good. Jesse Shilton's is a very interesting deep play. Is at six innings or more in three straight starts now, three earned runs or fewer in each of those as well. It's been like 1, 2, 3 earned runs. Really good slider, 8/33 whiffs. He does get Coors next week. Ignore that, but then he gets Athletics after. That's cool. Peter Lambert, no thank you. Tymon Walker, if you're on that chip, get off of that. Velocity's down to 90-91, and just move away from Tymon Walker at this point. Justin Steele's been going through a weird patch where he's leaking too much stuff in the middle of the plate now, and it's really annoying. He went against the Jays. He got used 7Ks, still with 3 runs in 5 innings, and it's a little annoying, I feel you. Rich Hill, 3.1 innings of 3 runs. I wonder if the Padres are going to shift to Nick Martinez taking the rotation spot of Rich Hill whenever they have another arm return, either that be Waka or Musgrove. Chris Bassett did well against the Cubs, say for the fourth inning where the first four guys got on base, including a three-run shot to cap it off. It's annoying. Otherwise, he was absolutely dominant. Two other base runners, and there wasn't even an out in that sequence. It's so annoying. We have Brian Bello against the Tigers. Really annoying to see that the cutter and the slider each allowed a home run because his best pitches are a sinker and the changeup. So over time, we're going to see those secondaries get better. While the sinker and changeup are still good, the sinker was a little bit worse than those ones, but still. Danny Reyes, poor guy, had to start for the Mets against Atlanta. Like, that wasn't going to go well, so that stinks. Alex Cobb does not have a splitter back, and he got Texas, so he got rocked. And Tyler Anderson against Houston, 7 earned runs, but his changeup is still really good. So, you leave him on the wire for the Rays next, but then maybe the Mets and the Athletics after. While Cobb, you just avoid because he gets Atlanta next, and the splitter has been bad for a good while. Looking forward to today's games. Obviously, you know a lot of this already. It's a little bit too late to go over it now, but Gerrit Cole, Freddie Peralta, and Julio Urias are obvious auto starts. Zach Eflin, Logan Webb, Bryce Miller, Sonny Gray, Eduardo Rodriguez, Seth Lugo, Dylan Cease, Kyle Bradish, Tanner Bibee, Yuri Perez, Dane Dunning, Cutter Crawford, and Brandon Williamson are all in that second tier. The reason some of those top names are here is because it's a little bit tougher matchups. And then Cutter Crawford is a stream pick against the Tigers, while Brandon Williamson is here because he was here yesterday, but that is a doubleheader today. So make sure if you had him yesterday, you get him in your lineup today. Questionable start tier is Mitch Keller against the Reds. Also, of course, not going yesterday, going today. Kodai Senga against Atlanta. Oh boy. Chase Silseth against the Astros. This is going to be a very interesting start. I don't think the splitter is going to be back and it's the Astros, so I'm not really doing it. Jameson Taillon is on a good roll, but it's the Jays. You have Urquidy against the Angels. Hyunjin Ryu and Ken Waldachuk. I actually, believe it or not, I just picked up Ken Waldachuk. I need 5 strikeouts and I need a win. And I had nothing to chase here, so I went after Waldachuk. Wish me luck. I really like what he did last time with the slider and the fastball. I mean, it's already started, so we'll see. Do not start tier. Brandon Pfaadt. I'm watching it just getting destroyed on that. I'm going to lose this week. Okay. Brandon Pfaadt, Ranger Suarez, Yanni Chirinos, Luke Weaver, Trevor Williams, Cal Freeland, and Andrew Jackson, because, of course, of yesterday's doubleheader, are all in that do not start tier. I'm curious how all of that lands. We have Tyler Glasnow going tomorrow against the Giants. He's at the top despite the expectation of a lower pitch count, and just because if he's starting, you're going after him against the Giants. Max Fried and Max Scherzer are also up here. And on that order, reverse that. Framber Valdez and Yu Darvish. I feel like these are all obvious. Probable start to you. You have Grayson Rodriguez against the Padres. A little bit tougher with the Padres, but I think Grayson has just been that good. Brady Singer's slider has been fantastic, and he gets the Mariners, and the Mariners' bats will be inclined to chase, even though they've been a lot hotter lately. I don't really believe that for the long haul. Emerson Hancock's on the other side. I'm streaming him against the Royals. I really liked what he did with the sinker last time, and I think the cutter and changeup are good enough to make this worthwhile. You have JP Sears against the Cardinals. He does get a lot of whiffs still. Even if the sweeper wasn't as good last time, I'm going with that one. I think that's actually going to be worthwhile, even if you don't get a win. Miles Michaelis and Merrill Kelly are in that questionable start here. It's kind of cool to see them paired up again, like they used to be. But Michaelis gets a much better start against the Athletics, and yet he's just not been that good. While Kelly's been great, but he has to head to Coors. So I understand that could work because it's Kelly. But yeah, that's on a fun one. And speaking of bad starts, you have Clark Schmidt or bad matchups against Atlanta. No thank you. Same with Patrick Sandoval, as the Rangers are going to
kill him. it's just not fun. Braxton Garrett, Chris Flexen, Sean Manigas, and Carlos Carrasco and Quinn Priest are going against each other, and I just don't believe either one to do well. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support. Sorry again about yesterday, and you can kind of hear the voice is still not there, but I'm getting it back, and I know why it wasn't there. I just got to drink a lot more water. All right, that is it. Thank you all so much. My name is Nick Pollock, and me, your BABIPs below, and your strikeouts high.